out there, but she didn't make it in here to help me out. So I'll be doing the Happy Father's Day. It's everybody's here. It's you're not all fathers. Some of we are mothers, but fathers, we get our special day today. So it's good to see you all. We're glad you're here. A lot of things going to be coming up. The summertime has started. This week starts summer. And so the activities and things, the VBS, will be looking for workers for Bible school and the activities that will be happening. You know, has anybody seen that group of little girls and that little boy that comes in on Sunday morning? Isn't that wonderful? Boy, that just tickles my heart. I see all them little towhead girls coming. You know, the first time somebody called my son a towhead, I was offended. You know, I didn't know what they meant. So I hope you mean that just means a little blonde-haired person, I guess. But when they said that little towhead boy of yours, I thought, what you talking about? That boy's perfect, you know? But anyway, it's good to see you all this morning. It's good to be here this morning. I was just thinking of the song that Dave sang there and how beautiful that was. See, you know, our life is an offering to God. You know, he gave it to us, but we're to give it back to him. We're to bring glory to God. And that's the main function of man, is to bring glory to God. That's your main job. That's our main job. So let's try to do a good job of it, huh? And give glory to God for all he's done for us. Good morning. Welcome. Glad to have you all here.
I'd like to start off with a new song. The choir knows it. We rehearsed it a couple times. Some of you might know it from the radio. It's House of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Now just hang on and join where you can, okay? By the time you get to the chorus, you'll know it. By the time we get to the fourth chorus, you really will know it, and you'll be blowing me over. So let's stand, shall we? And if I get lost, not my fault. We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. Now here you go. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. He hung upon that cross. Then he rose up from the grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, and now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, and now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. There is joy in this house. There is joy in this house today. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Amen. You did a great job this morning. Wow. Let's go back a few centuries. Victory's been, there's no time to victory. Victory is what God has given us, no matter what the age. Ready?
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. His groaning and his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He won and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing and his cleansing power revealing. How he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried to Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. My Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. And all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Let's read this from Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read it together. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make. catch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. In anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Father, we are your servants this morning. You've given us so much, and we give everything back to worship you and to serve you in Jesus' name.
Well, good morning, everyone. Everybody having a good Father's Day? I'm asking the women, too. Are you having a good Father's Day? Without your father, you wouldn't be here. Right? We say that for Mother's Day, too, but Father's Day, get that as well. You have to give fathers some kind of credit. You always see them. I always talk about this when you see the big sports guys on TV, you know, football players. Hi, Mom. I'm like, dude, what about Dad? He's part of it, too. It wasn't just Mom. So... have any praises you want to share this morning, what God's been doing for you?
I saw little Gracelyn yesterday for the first time. She's home and doing really well. We can't keep her little skinny legs down. I mean, her little legs, I have to say, are just so skinny. And Steve called her Skinny Minnie the other day, and she goes, I'm not a skinny mini. I don't know if she even knows what that is, but she just is so precious, and I just want to praise God and thank you again for your prayers. And this surgery she had done, they say, can lead her into 10 to 20 years before her next surgery. So, and they will have to keep going back to Boston. But for every cath that she has done, everything. So that's the heart hospital that they've chosen. They did quite different than Cincinnati would have done. And so with a heart being that serious, they want to give her the most precious life that they can with God's grace. So
you could call her Bendy Wendy.
Yeah.
Well, that's just such a blessing. It is. And I guess I would just say the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. This week, or past week, Dave's sister, who had been battling colon cancer, passed away. It was 3 months since her diagnosis, but she was ready to meet the Lord. And Wednesday, we will have the funeral up in Lansing, Michigan, with their family, and we will be taking Dave's parents over. And so just pray for us as we minister with them. Dave's mom has some dementia. And Kathy was just such a precious person, and she will be greatly missed. I guess, you know, she was just a fun-loving person, always cheerful, always pleasant, just an anchor in their family. So it's going to be a difficult path for the whole family as they navigate without mom. And I know, I guess I was sharing with Dave, she was 70 when she just had a birthday. And my mom died when she was 72. And so I'm just, you know, remembering those times and how difficult it was for me after my mom passed away, because I was the only girl. I had three brothers. And mom and I were just, she was my best friend, aside from Dave. And so it just is a difficult thing. And she was also the hub of our family. And I think that, you know, when you have a mom that's just so gracious and special and just does so many things for so many people, it's just hard to, you know, you want to fill those shoes, but I told my brothers, don't even think about it. You know, so I know that as I embrace these, there's three daughters and one son in this family, as I embrace these girls and these kids, you know, I remember those times and just know the hurt. And we sorrow not, you know, as though we don't have that. We have hope. You know, I can't imagine the people that have no hope. But we are just grateful that she's no longer suffering and she's with the Lord. So thank you.
Except Sandy's closer.
Pete and I have a wonderful praise. Last Sunday, we weren't here because we were able to go and see two of our grandchildren get baptized. So we were so happy to be there, and just such a blessing to see your grandchildren going that direction, you know, committing their life to the Lord. So.
On this Father's Day, I just want to remind everybody, pray for your fathers if they're still around. Have good thoughts, especially if you think about if they were in a relationship with Christ, know where they're at. Also, I think we need to remember to pray for our father-like figures, right? There's leadership that we look up to as our fathers. I don't know how the evil one manifests in this world all the time, but I know evil attacks believers and our leaders. So just pray for them also.
My mom was moved to a rehab facility, and she didn't walk for over a month. So she started taking some steps here and there with physical therapy, but yesterday she walked 40 feet. So she thought that was a huge accomplishment, and I think that gets her closer to coming home.
Yeah, pray for my mom. She's still in rehab, and insurance is trying to kick her out of there and make her pay. So we're just praying she needs at least two more weeks so she can start walking around.
I just want you to continue to pray for Roger. He's had another setback. But I know the Lord has his hand in this, but one of the wires that holds the sternum together after his heart surgery has come loose, and they think that it came loose when he fell at the rehab center. So I'm sure they're going to have to go back in and repair that wire. So just keep him in your prayers. Thanks.
Pray for Donna Wharton. She's in the hospital, I heard this morning, with some kind of infection. They don't know what that is. So we'll just pray for that. So let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning. You heard all these requests, Lord, about funerals coming up and heart surgeries and for Roger needing the repair of that wire that's come loose, and praises as well, Lord, for what you've done, bringing people through surgeries and helping them to walk and giving them rehab and things they need. We just pray for spiritual health. Lord, as Pam talked about this morning, Lord, what will we do without you, especially in times of loss, when you have no hope, but we have hope in you, and thanks for healing processes that you bring for little kids with ear infections and for adults with sores and all kinds of things that happen to us. But we know the most important thing for us at this time is to have a relationship with you, to know you as our Lord and Savior. Be with us in this service as we sing to you, Lord, as we hear your word. Be with those who couldn't be here this morning and those maybe who didn't mention their request, but you know what they are. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad will be 94 in November, and I was concerned about him with my sister's passing away. He was pretty involved, but I called him afterwards. He said, you know what, Dave? He said, life is for the living. He said, and I've got work to do. So say amen. Called him yesterday. He's working on a puzzle. And I don't do puzzles. He's always done puzzles. He's out in the foyer of their assisted living doing a 4,000-piece puzzle, I think. I said, well, good for you. Take a picture when it's done, and I'll enjoy your joy. This is one of my favorite songs, Midnight Cry. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. As Gabriel sounds the call, and the midnight cry, we'll be going home. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And then those that remain shall be quickly changed. Let the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again. I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilled, signs of the time, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father sing, son, go get my children. And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And then those that remain shall be quickly changed. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, and then those that remain will be quickly changed. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes again. He's coming back. Amen. Thank you.
I didn't know we had Bill Gaither here. Bill, glad to have you this morning. He changes all these different tones and everything, you know. I only do it accidentally when I have a cold or something, but he does it on purpose. Well, happy Father's Day to those who are fathers here today. I had a thought about this week and read something from Danny Thomas that says, there are two types of people in this world, the givers and the takers. The takers sometimes eat better, but the givers always sleep better. Think about that. There's fathers like that too. There's givers and there's takers. Those are their fathers. I thought about that comment. Fathers who are takers are the ones who leave their kids and wives most often scared, don't they? What's going to happen next? What's he going to do? How's he going to come home today? These kinds of fathers take away their kids' joy. Maybe you had a father like that, I don't know, but you came home and you had 5 A's in your report card and 1 B, and he said, why didn't you get 6 A's? And you're like, I was so excited that I had the A's, and now I got a B, and you're not happy with a B. So instead of praising their accomplishments, they take their joy of a great report and leave them feeling as if they didn't do enough, feeling disappointed. Then there's those fathers that take away their kids' self-esteem. They tell the kids they're stupid and can't do anything right. And they set their kids on a course for failure thinking that they can't do anything. And they're takers, aren't they? They take from their kids. Other fathers take away whatever they can from their kids. They take away their allowance, their possessions, their bank accounts, whatever they get their hands on. They leave their kids feeling used and always suspicious of others. Finally, there's those fathers take away their kids' sense of security and safety, and they see their mother abuse and experience abuse themselves. And it may take a lifetime for them to overcome that abuse and feel safe and secure. But these fathers aren't the kind of fathers anybody wants, are they? And what was their past to make them this way? But their kids are paying for that kind of past. And I was thinking about this. There's another father who's a taker, Satan. He's a taker of this world. He's that kind of a father. John 8:44 says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And most of these fathers who are takers are not speaking truth, are they? They're speaking lies. They're speaking things that aren't true about their kids or their families or their lives. Then he also says in 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When I grew up, my dad was an alcoholic. When he was drunk, drinking whiskey, he was terrible to be around. He was mean, looking for somebody to lash out to. And maybe some of you had that same experience. And one of my things in life, which may sound bad, but was not to be like him. So that actually gave me something to look forward to, is like, I'm not going to do what he did. I'm going to do something different. And so that's what I did. I decided to go to school. I liked industrial arts. So I took that as my major in college, and I enjoyed it. And I taught school for a number of years and did those kinds of things. And so I didn't want to be like him. So for me, that was motivation, not to be like him. And his dad was the kindest man. My grandfather was the kindest man you could see. But I don't know what happened to him. And I think sometimes we get upset because our kids don't do what we want them to do. But we can't make them do things. They have their own choice. All we can do is love them, accept them, and welcome them back. And keep encouraging them, you know, even when they do things that we don't appreciate. Same with our fathers. Even though we don't maybe not approve what they do, maybe we're not going to be around them, but we can still pray for them, right? That they'll be different, that they'll be changed, that maybe something's going to make a difference in their life. John 10:10, we know, says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. So Satan wants to destroy our families. We're seeing that more and more each day, aren't we? More dads not in the homes, right? More laws that say you can do this and you can do this. And I heard a thing the other day that a lady was talking about. I can't remember what state it was, but the school system with a gender changing drugs, whatever, for kids. She said, you know, you make me give a permission slip to watch a movie, permission slip to go on a field trip, but you can do this to my kids without asking my permission. What are we getting to as a society? We need people to stand up, men to stand up and say, this is wrong, and you aren't going to do this anymore. I think our men sometimes become complacent. We don't want to offend somebody. But sometimes people aren't afraid of offending us as Christians. They don't care what we believe. They're going to do whatever they think they need to do, and that's a small percentage of people that's controlling the rest of the population. 1 John 3:8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. So it doesn't say if you sin once, it says if you make a practice of it, that's your lifestyle. Lifestyle of sin is from Satan. So here are a few things the devil, the father of lies, wants to take from you. First of all, he wants to take away your belief in Jesus, that he is who he said he was. In John 20, the disciples shouted out that they had seen Jesus raised from the grave, but Thomas's doubt kept him from believing in the miracle of salvation. So Jesus appeared to Thomas and said, stop doubting and believe. Sometimes we need a Jesus experience, don't we? Either through him personally or somebody else to remind us of who Christ is and the power he has and what he's done for us. When the devil tempts you to question God and question Jesus, don't let your circumstances determine your God. Let your God determine your circumstances. Right? God's bigger than any circumstance we can go through. Second thing he wants to take away your faith. Faith doesn't mean that you're never afraid, but it means that your faith is misplaced if you're fearful. The devil doesn't want to rob you of faith, but he wants to rob you of anything about God that you can have. Faith in more than mere belief, he wants you to trust. That's what the Lord wants to do. But Satan wants to trust in everything else but God. Trust in this method, this book, this drug, this whatever it is. He wants you to trust in all those things, but not trust in Christ. He wants to take away your position in Christ, that you're a child of the King. He wants you to believe you're nobody, you're nothing. You have no worth, that you're unloved, you're not good enough, but you're God's handiwork. And he says we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. He wants to take away your commitment to the church. The more uninvolved you become in the church, the more he can move your life and ruin your life. Because you need a body of believers to come around you for help, support, for encouragement, sometimes chastisement, right? You shouldn't be doing that. I don't think that's a good choice for you. But we don't want to be disciplined a lot of times, do we? But you discipline those that you love. Right? If you don't care, you're not going to tell them anything. But if you care, you're going to say, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. It's probably not good for you. Can I help you get over that? Can I do something with you or for you? Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing, but instead encourage one another all the more, since the day of the Lord is coming nearer. So we're supposed to encourage each other, right? Good job. Keep moving on. I know you had a rough time, but I know you can make it through. I'll be there to help you if you need something. He wants to take away your path or your direction. The Bible says, watch out for false prophets, for they come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. When we rely on the words of men or place ourselves away from God's word, we can be led astray, but when we look at God's word, that tells us where we're supposed to go and how we're supposed to get there. Just an FYI, even though it's not in the message, but the West Jeff School Board this week voted to rescind their policy for allowing religious education in the school. So I had a policy all these years, and LifeWise kept saying, well, you've got a policy, why don't you enforce that? Why don't you let it happen? So they decided on a Monday to go and have a special meeting to talk about it. And then on Tuesday at their board meeting, they rescinded the policy and took it out. That doesn't mean God still can't work, because we know it's still in the Ohio law that you can have religious instruction during school hours, but they just took it out of their policy. So we're going to see what God's going to do next with this. Satan wants to take away our hope. So we've been hoping and praying for the last, well, almost 2 years now for this program to come in to get to the kids to be able to teach them godly principles. 1 Corinthians 4 says, we're hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So when you feel like things are going the wrong way, just trust in Christ. He knows what he's doing. He's there to guide and direct you and show you where you're supposed to be. Psalm 33 says, we wait in hope for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield, and in him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put on our hope. So even though the enemy attacks us, we don't give up hope. We still have hope in Christ, right? Even though it looks like it's grim, it looks like it's bad, it looks like whatever sickness you have or whatever, God still knows. But we all want the kind of fathers who are givers, don't we? Fathers who give us things. We want fathers to give us love, not based on what we do, but simply because of who we are, because they're kids. Right? When your dad doesn't say, well, what'd you do today? Well, that was bad. Oh, you didn't get a home run. You only got a single. Oh, you did this, right? I'm going to say, hey, I love you because you're my son or my daughter. That's why I love you, not because of anything you have to do. We want fathers who are proud of us, even if we get all C's in our report card and a D. Even if we strike out every time at bat, where dad can still say, good job. I'm proud of you. Did your best. That's all I want you to do is your best. We want God who give us a father who gives us encouragement. Says, you can do this. You can take that class. You can pass this test. You can go that new career that you're looking at, right? You can build this. You can fix this. You can do whatever it is, but your dad's encouraging you. We want fathers to give us protection, who are there to defend us and keep us from harm. When something's wrong, you want dad to be there and say, I'm gonna step in here. This is not going to happen to my child. Whether it's a school, whether it's a bully, whatever it is, you want your dad to be there. We want fathers to give us guidance, who help make decisions and teach us to know how to change a tire, how to buy a house or a car, right? You want dads to be there to tell you that, help you with that, finances, whatever it may be. We want dads to give us a godly example. Show us what it means to be a Christian, to be a husband, to those who support the Lord, right? Support the church, help the community, treat their wife the way they should, their kids. That's the kind of dads that we want. And God is all these things because he's our father. He's a giver. Here are some things that God gives us. First of all, he gives us provision, for he promises to provide or meet all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Does it say he's going to meet all your desires? No, he's going to meet all your needs. I'm going to meet what you need, not what you think you want, right? Oh, God, I need a Porsche. I really need that. Right, okay? God, I need food, I need clothes. I'm going to provide that. I need your spiritual guidance and your protection. I'm going to provide that. You see examples in the scripture. We see Jesus preaching. The crowd had not eaten, and he multiplied the loaves and the fish and fed more than 5,000. Provided their needs, didn't he? This is what they needed. There weren't any stores to go buy things. When Adam and Eve sinned and he opened their eyes, he provided clothes. Even when we mess up, he still provides, doesn't he? He didn't say, well, you messed up, so I'm not going to provide for you anymore. He says, you messed up, I'm still going to provide for you. I'm still going to help you. I'm still going to give you what you need. Here's a big one, I think, for us today. He gives us rest. Most people in the U.S. are going 1,000 miles an hour right? You work 7 days a week, you work 12 hours a day, you work whatever, overtime, then you do all this. You're tired, you don't get any rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. We need a place to find rest, which is in Christ, because he says in Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures, a place of comfort and peace, no stress and no worries. Usually you don't lay down too much when you're all stressed out, right? You try to sleep and you're like stiff as a board, you just have to relax. So when you're in a green pasture, what are you doing? You're looking at the clouds, you're relaxing, it's calm, nothing to worry about, nobody's coming in, nobody's bothering you. That's the kind of situation that he wants us to be in, because when he's in control of our lives and he's leading our path, then we can rest. It's like when you're taking a car trip and you don't have to drive. The passengers, and the driver's over there driving, right? You're not under stress. When you're driving in downtown traffic, you're like, what are you, you know? And the passenger's sleeping away. He wants us to have that kind of rest. Even though we're going through experiences and situations that we don't like, know that he's the one driving. We're just along for the ride. He gives us direction. And have you ever felt lost? Physically and spiritually? Where am I going? What am I doing? And then you put on your little GPS, turn left. Right? So when you're lost spiritually, you just put on the Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do? How am I supposed to get there? How am I going to get through this? What situation, what am I supposed to say in this kind of situation? And then the Spirit just tells you, this is what I want you to do. We talked a week or two ago about being silent, didn't we? Sometimes he wants you to just say nothing. Sometimes he wants you to say, I'm praying for you. Here's a word of comfort, whatever it may be. But many times he'll give us insight. And we look back sometimes and you've gone through a bumpy trail and you see that God has guided and directed you. Right? And you think, I don't know how I got through that. God brought me through. Because otherwise you wouldn't have made it. And when you're going through, you think, how am I going to make that? And then when you're thirsty, he brings you a drink. Look at that. That's amazing. See, Dan's always watching out for me. God gives us grace, which is unmerited, undeserved favor, and allows us to forgive those who've wronged us. When we look at him and say, you know, look at me, Lord. You forgave me. I need to forgive them. Doesn't mean I'm going to be their best friend, but it means I need to forgive them. And maybe we'll be their best friend someday, I don't know. But you need to give them that grace. You need to put your spouse first. Serve your families. Forgive yourself when you mess up. Sometimes we beat ourselves up, don't we? Oh, I messed up. I can't believe I did that or said that. Finally, you have to say, well, God, I asked for forgiveness. I'm just going to have to move on. I can't keep living in the past. But his grace can't be earned, but it was paid for by Christ. He gives the way to escape temptation. There's temptations out there all over the place. Through your eyes, through your ears, through your mind. All kinds of things, there's temptations out there. To say or do something wrong. All different images, all different words, all different songs, all kinds of things. But he promises to provide a way of escape. And he gives us resources to overcome those trials, including his word and his spirit. So we don't have to follow the path that we're not supposed to follow. He also gives us comfort. Because there's a lot of hurting people out there, right? There's hurting people in here, right? People in church even have hurts, pains and fears and all kinds of things that happen. And that could have been happening from the way your dad treated you, your mom treated you, what your boss said at work, what your kids said to you, how you grew up, whatever it may be. And those things are still in your head. And something brings it up that still hurts. God says, I want to give you comfort. When the pain feels too much to bear, he doesn't want you to hide from him. He wants you to run to him so you can be, so he can be your refuge and hold you and love you and tell you that it's okay. Remember when I used to get, when I was a kid, I got sick a lot of times. My mom would come in and give me a little cold wash right on my forehead. And then sing a song, Tura Lura Lura, she would sing to me. And that was comforting. because I didn't feel good, but if mom was there, I was okay. God saves us. When Adam and Eve were separated from God, their penalty was sin and death, but Jesus paid the debt. And he said, I have a price I'm going to pay for you so you can be saved. So he saves us. Nothing we can do, but he saves us, but we have to accept him. He gives us peace. Anybody ever go to bed at night and you can't sleep? You're worried about this, you're thinking about that, you're wondering about this, you're not sure about that. But he gives us confidence in uncertain circumstances and satisfies our longings. There's a song that says, wonderful peace, 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 wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. God wants us to have peace, doesn't he? In the midst of the storm, there's an illustration that shows the lighthouse in a storm all around. And the lighthouse is still standing, shining the light. No matter what's going on around it, it's still staying strong, and it's still shining its light, which is what God wants us to do. And the last thing he gives us is the truth. Today it seems like truth can't be found, and if it is, you don't know which one's truth and which one's not truth. Because you get conflicting things from each side. This person says this, this person says that. This person says this, but it wasn't true, but people believe it was true. Wait till the next election comes up. You're going to hear all kinds of that, aren't you? You don't know which one do I believe? I read this. Well, this guy said this. Well, that guy said this. Well, the fact check said this. Well, they didn't fact check that, right? When you don't have the truth, and it makes you uneasy, whether it's debate or whatever it may be. The Bible says we know where to turn for that. God's word is true, isn't it? He's going to give us the truth. So God's the Father who gives us good things, gives us promises. He encourages us. He's going to meet our needs. No matter what the trial or test may come, we know that God's going to provide spiritually and physically and whatever it may be. So we can rest assured that when we walk through tough times, God is walking with us, providing us all along the way. Isn't God the kind of Father that you want? We hope that. We hope that our Father's here will be like our Father in heaven, but none of us are perfect. But we can all be better, can't we? Even the best dads can be better, can't they? Nobody's perfect. Sorry, Al. He was claiming to be perfect this morning when he was here. And he only uses part of the story, he said, so I'll tell you the rest of the conversation. Perfectly annoying is what the conversation was. But he was going around saying, Pastor Bob said, I'm perfect, I'm perfect, I'm perfect. And I said, you should be a politician, Al, because you only get part of the story. Matthew 7:11 says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We need to ask God for help, don't we? When we need help, we need to ask God, I need help in this. I'm not sure. How do I do this? Especially in raising kids, because every one of them has a different user's manual. Right? What worked for this kid doesn't work for this kid. And what worked last week on this kid doesn't work for this kid anymore. Right? So you just got to say, God, guide and direct me. I don't know what I'm doing here. Well, you might be saying, I'm not a father, so it doesn't apply to me, but you'd be wrong, because whether you're a father or not, or a mother, or a grandparent, or child, you need to strive to be like Christ in all that you say and do and how we act. All these things that God gives us, we can all be givers to those around us, and that might even give you a chance to introduce somebody to Christ because of the way you act, because you're not like everybody else. You're acting like Christ. You and I may not have had the best fathers. I told you my dad was an alcoholic, and I didn't take after him. You may even have had a terrible father. But you do have one Father that loves you, which is our Father in heaven. He loves you and cares for you despite anything. Whether you're short, tall, fat, skinny, slow, fast, bald, have a lot of hair, whatever it may be, he still loves you. He doesn't care what you look like. He cares who you are, and that's his child. He wants to protect you, provide for you, encourage you, and he wants to save you. So do you look to him today as our father and love him back? The question is for the men, you know, what kind of father do you want to be? If you're not the father you want to be, then be different. Right? Be different. Do something different. Change what you're doing. It's never too late. As long as you have breath, it's never too late to fix those relationships that may be not right, or to fix those things maybe you didn't do right, or to maybe reconcile with your kids or whoever it may be that you can do. So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning, for giving us your word, for guiding us, for directing us, for loving us unconditionally, for giving us an example of how we should be, for making us aware of how the devil, the father of lies, what he tries to do to us and what he tries to take from us. Be with those, Lord, who've had fathers that are takers. Help us to be fathers who are givers. Help our wounds to be healed. Help us to trust in you, to love you, and to see you as our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand this morning, shall we? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. May Jesus be seen in your life this week. Amen. Thank you.